Side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Scott Beeson filling in on a Right Side Radio. Phil Williams is out. Phil will be back for you on Monday, but I'm here again. I didn't get fired. They didn't let me go. They must have. They were scraping the bottom of the bucket. They tried all night long to find somebody else, and they're like, God, bum, we're stuck with Scott one more time. So that is how I'm here. Boomer is here. We are ready to rock and roll. You wearing a Bama hat again?
You still? Yeah, I'm wearing a Bama hat.
All right, just making sure. Good. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Roll Tide. The lots of stuff to do. Oh, by the way, we are in the second day. This is day number two. You know how the national host always like to do day number two. This is day number two of this country not being in a recession. It's fantastic. Day number two, no recession. It's awesome. It's great. I was feeling really good about the direction the country was going in, and I thought about it last night, and I figured, man, Scott, you were just too hard on the president and all those leftist advisors and economists. And what do you know about the economy? I mean, you're a geologist, for goodness sakes. And then you're a politician after that, which means you pretty much are a knucklehead. And so we're not in a recession. And I'm celebrating that fact every day. Boomer, you doing good?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing great.
You're doing great.
Fantastic.
You looked a little tired. You weren't bright-eyed and bushy-tailed when we first came on, and now you're like great and fantastic.
Well, sweet tea.
Oh, yeah. Well, sweet tea does help. Well, the coffee is making. And I will go ahead and tell you, I had a hard time sleeping last night.
I bet.
I told you I would.
Coffee.
Coffee all the way till 5 o'clock in the afternoon just to make sure you can do the second show is not a good plan. As you get old and start trying to sleep, and it just doesn't, don't sleep as well as you used to. I mean, I'm not one of these folks that, I can't sleep, I wake up at 4 o'clock. Have you noticed? Look, I'm going to tell you the secret. I'm learning so many things as I get older. I had a good friend of mine who was, well, y'all recognize his name. It's Senator Charles Bishop. For the people of the state of Alabama who are around, Charles Bishop is the senator who happened to punch the other senator and was crawling up on top to give him just a full-out whipping because the other guy called him a SOB, and you just don't tolerate that. Called his mom a name. And anyway, so Charles and I are good friends. I love him. He's a great American, great Alabamian, the whole nine yards. And he would call me at the crack of dawn and leave messages like, I know you're not up because it's too early for you, that kind of stuff. And he's older. And you know what I realized, Boomer? This is the secret. This is how they do it. They go to bed like at 8:30. So if you go to bed at 8:30 and you wake up at 4:30 or 5, you're still an eight-hour guy, right?
Yeah.
Now, the people I respect and wonder how they're still alive is the people who go to bed at midnight and wake up at 4 o'clock. That I can't get. So you know what I did? Being, you know enough of my personality after one day, so I would call him like at 10:30 at night. And be like, I know you've already gone to bed, little baby. That kind of, well, I didn't call him baby because I'm scared of him. But still, I figured out that his calling me in the morning, the reciprocity was me calling him a little bit later at night. So that's how they do it. Don't let the older guys tell you how they get up at 4 o'clock, probably to pee. That's number one. And then they're like, oh, yeah, I start my day early. I'm like, you shut down at 6. Can I have a refill of tea? Gone. Dinner's barely over. They're asleep. That is how they do it. But they don't tell you that. It's that little part of the story they don't tell you. And you're like, man, why can't I wake up? Why can't I get my day going before the sun comes up? Why can't I be the guy that's out there rousting up the roosters and stuff? Like, get up, roosters. Time to do your job. But no. But that's how they do it anyway. More information than most people wanted to know. Today is a follow-up Friday or a free-for-all Friday. Whichever one that y'all would like to know, the number here is 833-687-4448. 833-687-4448. And if there is something that you've wanted to talk about that you said, I can't call one of those talk shows, I'm not going to be here again for a while. and I'm going to be very, very nice. You can call. You can't sound much more redneck than I do. See how good that is? And call in. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. We'll talk about what you might have a question about. It might be the state legislature. It might be Washington, D.C. It might be whatever. And what I plan on doing today is going through some of the things that are big news that everybody is going to talk about. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it goes. And I try to avoid a lot of the things that national shows do because most people listen to those shows as well. Most of those shows are basically the same thing over and over and over. So we try to hit some different things, skip out on some of the big, huge things that everybody is talking about. But let's just catch up on some of the little things that are out there, things you just might have missed from time to time. Did y'all notice that the congressional baseball game was last night? Mo Brooks, who has been a friend of my program, I'm sure he's a friend of this program as well. I don't know that for sure, but maybe he is a friend of this program as well, was supposed to play in that game. I haven't talked to him today to see how he played, but the Republicans apparently won. At least that's what the first news report said. I did have a caller this morning to let me know that late, about 11:30 or 12 last night, they did find some more runs for the defense out behind the Democrats out behind the outfield wall, put those up on the scoreboard, and Republicans ended up losing. So that's how it went. But there was supposed to be a protest. Well, this is what gets me, okay? So we have to be told constantly about January 6th, it was an insurrection, it was an armed insurrection. You know, the only reason January 6th was an armed insurrection is that human beings come with arms. That's it. It was also a legged insurrection because there weren't a bunch of firearms there, which is one of the things that I've talked about on my show. Even right after it occurred, when everybody was doing the, you know what you're supposed to do. Certain things happen and you're supposed to say certain things. You know, right off the bat, you're supposed to happen. So January the 6th occurs, and even all these quote-unquote conservatives, many of them ran out day one and like, oh, is it terrible? Oh, it's awful. It's one of the worst things that's happened. Oh, my gosh. And you know where they get that? They watch the mainstream news as well. I, on the other hand, do not watch a lot of mainstream news, so I'm like, wait a minute. Most of this is pictures of people taking selfies of themselves. These people are better behaved than people I see if I go to the movie theater. You know what I'm talking about. The movie theater has the little felt cord. I they call them ropes. I don't know what they are, but it's just weird. You got a feel of it. You know, it's like felt. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what is this? Who is this? But it's got this felt. It's a long tube of felt from one little pole to another little pole. And you're like, why are you on the other side of that? They've got that little tube of felt here for a reason. Why are you over there? Why are your kids over there? Why? What are you doing? We're supposed to be on this side of the rope. The people in the U.S. Capitol, 95% of them were better behaved than people at the movies when you and I go. They were behind the thing. They weren't tearing up any statues. They were taking pictures of themselves. They were doing that kind of stuff. And then I found it odd, and you've seen the pictures. I'm forgetting that I'm talking to people who don't hear my show regularly. Don't forget you can listen at scottbeasonradio.com Monday through Friday from 9 until 12. But I was looking at those pictures from the very start, and I'm like, this is just weird. Because I've been around rowdy crowds. I've been protested against. I've had my name on signs. I've had people come and protest at my church on a Sunday morning when I was in the legislature. My favorite sign of all time, Boomer, was the one that says, "Deport Scott Beeson." That is the one I liked. And one of my buddies, Paul Sanford, who's up from that area for where y'all were up in North Alabama, who was in the Alabama Senate at the same time I was. He just ran for Congress up there. And he goes and takes a picture with his knucklehead.
Well, I was going to ask, did you get a picture with it?
No. Look, I don't mind being protested against, and I don't mind walking by the protesters. I just kind of draw the limit at just being totally up in the crowd.
Understood.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not completely, you know, oblivious to what might happen to you. But yeah, I mean, that's one of my favorites, deport Scott Beeson. I was involved very, very heavily in the anti-illegal immigration effort in the state of Alabama. And it's so funny because the things that the press said that we were crazy, here's a great point when it happened. The state of Texas, as you know, has been putting illegal alien border crosser, border jumpers, whatever you say, on buses and sending them to Washington, D.C. And now Washington, D.C.'s mayor, Bowser, is having a fit. She's like, this is a humanitarian crisis. We have like 4,000 illegal aliens in our city. It's awful. What are we going to do? How are we going to take care of them? And people, logically, Ted Cruz being one of them, has been saying, so it's okay if you have 4,000 illegal aliens in a town of 4,000 people out in Texas somewhere, but it's not okay to have 4,000 illegal aliens in a giant metropolitan richest city, arguably, in the country. That's not okay, is it, Mayor Bowser? And you know, the hypocrisy is astounding, but, you know, it doesn't make any difference to them. But what is funny is we talked way back when Alabama was pushing back on illegal immigration about how we should, when we find people in the state illegally, we should put them on a bus and send them to Washington, D.C. And we will let them off out at the embassy of their home country or whatever. And we were, by fellow Republicans, y'all are so dumb. That's just dumb. Oh my gosh. That's just, you know how it goes. It's always that way. Then Texas does it. And I promise you, I don't know 100%, but I promise you, I'm just about guaranteeing some of the same people that told us we were redneck idiots are like, oh, that is so brilliant. I love that. I'm like, it's one of the reasons I had to get out of the legislature, because they put you in jail for assault and battery. Because I just want to take those people and just thump them right in the head. Just right here. I don't want to, you know, really endanger their vision or anything, but just right there in the little target area between the eyeballs, right at the top of the nose. I just want to go, boink, right there. Because you know they did it. You know they went out and gave a speech. Oh, it's a brilliant move by the Texas. I'm like, you told us we were idiots. You told us we should shut up. You told us we shouldn't even say stuff like that. You can't do that. Why can't you? Well, you know, the buses may, you know, have a longer range. Maybe they're electric or something. I don't know. We got to take a break. We will be right back.
Let's face it. 1819.
We are back, everybody. If you're wondering where Phil Williams is, he is not here. He's got that very adult-sounding, proper voice, and you're stuck with the twanginess of the guy from Gardendale, and that's what we've got. Scott Beeson here with you. Boomer is here trying to make sure that I keep it out of the ditches. This is a follow-up or a free-for-all Friday. If you want to join the program, the number is 833-687-4448. I was finishing up, or got, you know, ran down a rabbit trail and couldn't get back before the break. But leftist activists had decided that they were going to protest the congressional baseball game. It's one of these environmental groups they put out on their Twitter feed. We will converge on the congressional baseball game and we'll shut it down. Boomer, is it screaming when you do it in all caps? Is that how I'm supposed to look at it? Because I hate social media.
Yeah, I believe so. All
it is. So I should have said, we will shut it down. Because there's not an exclamation point. I'm from the old school. Exclamation point means exclamation.
Yeah, absolutely. Point. Right.
But they just did cap. So I just didn't know if there was a range of how upset they were. If it had been an exclamation point, would they have been more upset?
I mean, I get my wife gets mad at me if I do all caps on a text message. She thinks I'm yelling at her. I'm like,
is that how it is?
Okay. I didn't mean to. It's my bad.
You're like, I was just, it was stuck on cap locks. I really don't know how to turn that off. So I hate social media. And I know everybody's supposed to do it. Media people are supposed to do it. But I can't stand it. I don't really care. Look, I know it'll be going to be offensive, but I don't care what people had for dinner. Because if it's really good, I didn't have it. And they're like, look what I'm eating. Let me take a picture. Here I am on the beach. I'm like, I don't care. I can't do it. And then media personalities basically are like, look at me. I'm the greatest. I was the worst. I'm the worst when it comes to promotion, self-promotion. I'm just awful at it. If I had to go out and promote this show for you and Phil, and I was like, man, Phil and Boomer, they're awesome. They're the greatest. You need to listen to them. It's fantastic. I can do that. I have no problem with doing that. But my own stuff, I have this glitch. I can't say, oh man, Scott, I do the greatest radio show there's ever been. I can spin it in my mind, but I just can't say it. Because I like to say stuff like, I'm the biggest radio personality in Alabama. Which I think technically is true. And if I had the ability to do the things that people do, that's what I would do. I'm the biggest radio host in the state. Mostly because I'm taller than everybody else. But it's all about spin, is it not? I'm not the fattest, but somebody who was the fattest could say they were the biggest. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But this Now or Never group that was going to protest a congressional baseball game said Congress must pass legislation. Biden must declare a climate emergency. A climate emergency. How long is this going to go on? How long are we going to continue to talk about a climate emergency? Yes, the climate's changing. And we frankly don't know if it's getting warmer. We don't know if it's really getting colder. We don't know if we're flattened out. I do have this question, and I know a lot of people have asked this, and people who listen to this program would. But if they can't tell me if it's going to rain tomorrow, how do they know what the temperature is going to be 20 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now? Do we really believe they have any idea what they're talking about? And I'm being serious, because I know there are people listening to this program who think, well, they're the scientists, Scott. I'll give you a great example. The other day I had to go help, I had to move a mattress. So I dig out the old pickup truck that I've had since 1995, clean all the junk out of the back. I have to wonder if I'm going to make it to get gas because I managed to park it when it was empty, when I parked it. Check the weather, no rain. Call my wife, because you got to have two opinions. Of course, we're both looking at the same, you know, same internet feed, I'm sure. Hey, you don't think it's going to rain, do you? Well, no, let me check. Oh, no, it's not going to rain. I got rained on three times before I got the mattress from where I picked it up to where it was supposed to go. I flip out my phone as it's raining on me. No rain. No rain where you are. Oh, great. And I'm supposed to believe that these people know how hot the climate is going to be in 50 years. I don't understand that at all. Don't forget the number here, 833-687-4448, 687-4448. We'll have some calls. If we have some on the other side, we will do that, and we will be right back. In everybody, don't forget the number here, 866-687, wait a minute, 833, I was about to give you my show's number, 833-687-4448, and if you call, Boomer's going through the calls as fast as he can, so if you call and you didn't think you got through, just go ahead and give us a call back and we'll put you on the list. Let's go out there now to George in Gardendale. George, I know where Gardendale is, brother. I know you're shocked by that. George?
Hello?
Hey, buddy. How are you, man?
Doing all right. You don't know me from Gardendale, Scott. You knew me from Blount County back when you represented part of us in the state senate.
Yes, sir. Good deal. Good to hear from you.
Anyway, I had a little story of something that happened to me that sort of gave an epiphany. I had a daughter in my town, so the local daughter, the ex-wife, and I met for brunch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a nice brunch, you know, shrimp and grits type thing, tablecloths, and there were mimosas and wine and Bloody Marys involved. So the bill came, and the wife said, she always says, which is, you want to give them 2 credit cards and we'll split it. And I said, sure. When my bill came, I reacted thinking they had not split it. And of course, my daughter's mom, it turned out they had split it. And they made fun. They said, Daddy, you can afford it. Quit complaining, et cetera. And right. I said, yeah, but you have to understand my frame of reference. This brunch, which was $260 for
right,
cost 10% more than my first term at Auburn, and I was paying out-of-state tuition.
Oh, I don't know if I'm laughing about because how old that might make you, George, or just the story in general.
That was in 1971. I'll tell you, yeah, I'm old. But I got to thinking about it on the ride home, and I thought, that's not inflation. That's the long-term devaluation of our money.
Yes, sir.
And then it occurred to me that part of our problem is they've got us to talk about inflation all the time. And when you're thinking inflation, you get aggravated at the people drilling for oil because they're charging too much, and you get mm-hmm. mad at the farmers for charging too much for wheat and eggs, and
mm-hmm.
the ranchers for beef, and the power company charging too much for the electricity. But if you understand that it's devaluation of money, you tend to get mad at the people in Washington, the president, the Congress, and the Federal Reserve, not the people making stuff, but people devaluing the money. And it's right after I had that thought, Biden made a speech where he chastised all the farmers and the oil companies and everybody else. And it occurred to me, we need to quit saying inflation and talk about money devaluation
so that we put
our anchor at the right people, not the people making stuff, but the people devaluing the money.
George, you actually make a great point, because I'm thinking in my own mind, it's easy when people talk about inflation and they just say, well, the gasoline costs more, eggs cost more, chickens cost more. And you're absolutely right. If we did discuss it as the devaluation of money, because nobody's thinking that the guy down the street at the store is devaluing the dollar. You're absolutely right, George. You're the best caller I've had today, brother.
I'm your first caller, aren't you? I'm on the road while I'm listening to you.
Yes, sir.
I heard the start of the show. Anyway, but I've been wanting to try to get in touch with the folks that talk about it all the time on radio and TV and say, quit saying inflation, devaluation, so people get mad at the government and not the farmers.
You make a great point, George.
I enjoyed it, Scott.
Hey, appreciate it, brother. Be careful out there. Boomer, you got to admit the guys. George is on to something. Look, I told people all the time that I represented the smartest, best people in the state. George is a great example of that, by the way. He even admitted, well, he didn't say he voted for me, though, did he? He just said I used to represent them. He's like, he doesn't know Jack. Scott's a knucklehead. But anyway, it's all good. Is anybody else on? Nobody else. So let me go on to some of these other things. I don't know if you've seen this. This is really kind of breaking news. It's one of the news sites that I go and read a lot of their articles, and it's funny because they're on the cutting edge a lot of times. It's a place called the Gateway Pundit, and they have an article that just came out this morning that I did not see when I did show prep for my show, and here is what is going on. You remember Mr. Jeffrey Epstein, who did not kill himself in prison, right? That Jeffrey Epstein, who just magically happened to know and be friends with all these powerful elitist, powerful American politicians, powerful American CEOs, etc. And he gets entangled in this sex trafficking scheme and ends up being put in jail and magically kills himself. But of course the cameras were off and no one knew and the guards weren't paying attention like they were supposed to, and voila, He just, you know, he's gone. He's out of there. Like so many other people who were friends with or know the Clintons in any way. Because Bill and, wasn't it Bill and Hillary both? Makes it even creepier at times. Buddies with Epstein. Bill Gates, buddies with Epstein. So, and his business partner or, I don't know, what was her real title? Do you remember the real title of Ms. Maxwell's, what was she really? I mean, was she just like executive assistant or, this article says partner, but partner doesn't mean all the same things that it used to mean. You know, now, when you, like if Boomer went with me to like a lunch and I was like, well, you know, and here's Boomer, he's my partner. I mean, my business partner. He's my radio partner. I know him. That's basically what we have to do now. So I don't know which kind of partner Ms. Maxwell was. Was she partner? Was she business partner? I thought she was just kind of the handler. But these folks were grooming and trafficking young girls. He had that island where he would go to, and if you looked into any of the stuff that he was involved with, you see that he's got this building that's kind of like a temple, and it's just weird. They're all weird, okay? They're weird. So Epstein kills himself. Maxwell ends up going on trial. She's found guilty. I don't know if she's already serving her prison sentence or not, but she has the... She knows who the clients were. She knows who was involved. She knows all those things. During her trial, I think it was her trial, 20-something women testified that Epstein had trafficked them. Like four of them said that Maxwell had abused them as well. But for some reason, we don't know who the client list was. We don't know who they were trafficking girls and ladies for. We don't know who the clients are. I don't think they were just doing it for themselves. I think that's how they became very, very powerful and very, very influential. Now, here's the weird part of the story. According to this, no media outlet in the country has petitioned the court to unseal the identities of Epstein's clients. New York Times hasn't. CNN hasn't. Fox News hasn't. So no one wants to know who the clients were. No one wants to know who was paying for these services or who was partaking in these services. So the Gateway Pundit has filed to have this list unsealed. I was already shocked that the court sealed it to begin with. I mean, who's on this list? Who do you think would be on this list? How many powerful people are on this list? Now, here's the thing, and I get it. It's entirely possible that someone could be on the client list or be on the flight list, and I guess they could get the flight list if you think people with private planes put the identities of whoever's flying with them on those lists, why would you do that? Because you're supposed to? Because the law says you should? That's what the answer would be from my friends, especially my friends who haven't thought about it a lot. So think about that, Boomer. You're involved in sex trafficking young girls, right? And then someone comes along and says, you better put the congressman's name on the flight log or you'll be breaking the law. Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. You're right. I will definitely put his name on the flight list because I wouldn't want to break the law. I'm trafficking young women, but I wouldn't want to break the law. Oh, my gosh. Not the FAA. Ooh, really? But people think that way because you know why? Because we are honest. We follow the law. If someone says, hey, you can't do that, why? It's against the law. It's a stupid law, but okay, fine. That's the way we look at it. Criminals look at it like, what you going to do about it? You know what? This is exactly the same argument. I don't know how I jump around of all these things. See, y'all should feel bad for me. This is the way my mind works normally. So I've gone from that automatically to gun signs on doors at businesses. Right? It's the same thing. The criminal is like, I think I'm going to rob this convenience store. I think I'm going to rob this big box store. Got his gun, headed in. Oh, dang. Jerome, we can't rob this place. Why? I was going to do it with a gun, and they got a no gun sign right here. And it says clearly that if I carry it in there, they'll get me for trespassing. Oh, you're right. We'll have to go rob somebody else. There are people who believe that, Boomer. I'm telling you.
Oh, I know.
And you know where those people are? They're in the legislature. And they're in the sheriff's office. Because how many of the folks listening to me, when all the gun bill stuff went down in the Alabama legislature years ago, their sheriff used taxpayer money and ran around, went from store to store to store, giving out no gun stickers for the businesses? How I went from Epstein, I mean, it made sense. Didn't it make some kind of sense? Maybe. Try to get back under control. We'll be back in a minute. Back, everybody. All right, I lost my phone call list. Dang, it doesn't work as well as I thought it would, Boomer. It's gone somewhere. It's out there in the interwebs somewhere. But we'll track it down. We'll get another phone call. We'll track it down. 833-687-4448. So as you could hear during the commercial break, I ran across some news that is actually stunning, frankly. Maybe worse than stunning. Very surprising. So let's get a breakdown real quick. I know a lot of people are just now getting into talk radio. They kind of see what's going on with the world. They've got this innate feeling that, hey, this just not, things just don't seem right. Maybe I'll start listening to some of those guys like Phil Williams or Scott Beeson and just kind of figure it out. But when it comes to communist China, I told my listeners a number of times, the Chinese people don't do things, for the most part, without permission. Chinese news outlets don't do things without permission from the government. The communist Chinese government is in charge. And the communist Chinese government that is in charge is mostly one group, or I don't know if it's really called ethnicity, but there are different types of Chinese people. It's a giant country, and they have different groups of Chinese inside the country. Well, this one group is pretty much in charge. I think it's kind of fluid at the edges, but they are in charge, and there's, you know, a lot of feeling of, well, we're superior to this group or that group or whatever because we're the in-charge group. But suffice it to say that the Chinese don't really allow things to go out in international news that they don't approve of the messaging. This is a piece by Christina Layla. Now, I'm not a big fan of Nancy Pelosi. I'm not a big fan of Joe Biden. I'm not a big fan of Chuck Schumer. But I am a big fan of the United States. And one of the reasons that I'm so upset with Joe Biden, having been put in place by the United States Senate and Congress, is, outside of the fact that I think they stole an election, is that we are not respected in the world. We were told, all the people who were going to go out and vote against Donald Trump, apparently 80 plus million people, were told that Joe Biden was going to bring respect back to the United States. Leaders of the world would respect the United States again. The adults would have re-entered the building. Does anyone believe that anymore? Even my most liberal friends have to admit that we are not respected. We're not feared, for sure. And why should we be? You know what I think is probably the scariest thing for different leaders around the world? imagine if you are a leader who is an ally of the United States, who's been getting along with the United States, who are maybe the United States put you in charge. That is who ought to worry about the United States. And I frankly don't believe that when Donald Trump was president, leaders around the world were worried about Donald Trump turning his back on them if they were supposed to be allies. If you were a friend of the United States and you were acting friendly to the United States, I think Donald Trump had the ability to say, you know what, your culture's screwed up. I don't really particularly like what you're doing in your country, but you're our friend and our ally. I'll treat you with respect. I'm going to be there. I've got your back. I think that's part of the reason that he was, you know, successful in his conversations and dialogue when it came to the Saudis. Yes, they have a different culture. Yes, they do things that we think are heinous. But here's the interesting thing. We've known that since the very beginning. Has anybody else noticed that, you know, I complain sometimes, well, take that back. I complain a lot of times that we use modern standards, even if those standards at times may be screwed up, to decide whether or not someone 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 3,000 years ago was a good person or not. And that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but we really went down that road with slavery, those sorts of things. We just beat ourselves up constantly, even though it was the United States, Britain, Western civilization, Christendom, that began to stamp out slavery across the world. It was Christendom who got around to saying, you know, this really is a crappy policy. We shouldn't be doing it. So instead of celebrating that and celebrating the leadership of that, we're just mired in, oh yeah, but before they came up with that idea, they had slaves and they're terrible people. We do that. But then I find it interesting, like Saudi Arabia. It's an Islamic country. It is a monarchy. Clearly, we don't understand monarchies either. The king's in charge. He and his family are in charge. If you don't like it, lump it. One of the smart things to not do is say bad things about the king or the prince, right? It's a monarchy. They don't have to ask you for permission for anything. So did they execute someone who wrote guest articles for the Washington Post? What was his name? Khashoggi? I think they did. But here's my point. I think it's horrible. But why do Americans act like they're shocked? We don't think that's happened before. We don't think it's going to happen again. It's a culture where it apparently doesn't matter. So, you know, Donald Trump is an evil person for talking to him. What are we going to do? We got to quit selling them arms. They're terrible. They're horrible. Fast forward a couple of years. Oh, my gosh, we need oil because we're too stupid to drill for it in our own country. Produce it over here. And we're right over there asking them for oil. That's Joe Biden. What did he say about them? That they were like the dregs of the world or something horrible? So a reporter asked, while he's standing there with part of the royal family and Saudi leaders, hey, do y'all still think that the Saudis are terrible? Basically. And the Saudis are all laughing. But look, you know, we're more respected now that we got rid of the mean tweeter. We got 2 more hours left. You definitely want to hear this. China threatening military action. You want to hear it? We'll be back.
Hey, all you right side.